On in and take your seats, and I'm going to invite Stephanie Ratcliffe to come up, and I'm going to invite some of our guests from Mennonite Brethren Missions and Services International, MBMSI for short, it's easier to say, and so I'm going to ask Al Stobie if he would come up, and Paul, are you going to come up as well? Paul Dick, then they're both part of the member care team at MBMSI. We have a wonderful privilege this morning. You've heard us talk a little bit, if you've been around Jericho for any length of time, about global mission and about commissioning. And we're studying the book of Acts this summer. One of the things that we see in the book of Acts is that there's always a group of people that is behind anyone who goes out sharing the gospel message. And so one of the ways in which our larger church family is set up is that we work with Mennonite Brethren Missions and Services International. So maybe, Al and Paul, can you guys give us just a little bit of like a soundbite? What is MBMSI and how are we connected with it as a church family, and what's the kind of primary role that God has called MBMSI to?
Excellent. Am I on? Yeah, live? Okay. Good morning. It's great to be here. I'm here with my wife, Karen, you wave, and Paul's wife, Carol, is here as well. MBMSI, it's the arm of the churches, our Mennonite Brethren churches, really the mission agency, and you know a little bit about it, and it's exciting to be part of this ministry. Karen and I served with MBMSI back in the 90s in Austria, and now I've been part of the team in the office there for the last couple of years. And MBMSI, the main purpose, vision that we have, and you can see it on the website and stuff, is holistic church planting that transforms communities among the least reach. And that's really what we're about, church planting. You know, you can do a lot of different things in mission around the world, and there's a lot of great things happening, but our purpose, our vision, is to plant churches. And part of that is holistic, and that it's transforming communities. So we use a lot of different ways of reaching out and planting churches. We have ESL. People are doing ESL. Japan, different parts of the world. We have some people doing just small business. That's how they're in a certain community, maybe in a restricted access country. We have some people right now in India that are using poetry, and that's one means for them to connect with the community, trying to plant a church in a middle-class community in Delhi, India. Some people are using music and arts in France. We have some missionaries there that are doing concerts, that are involved in radio and TV. We have some people that have been trekking across the remote areas of Mongolia, short-term teams. You may have heard of the Nomad team that went to Mongolia. They've gone for a few summers or now and seen incredible things happening there. Building homes in Thailand, like after the tsunami. You may have heard about that, how that was then kind of the start for some work in southern Thailand, and we now have a team that's working called O2W, Operation Second Wave. Orphanages. So these things are not our primary focus necessarily, like building orphanages, but they come out of the church plant. And so that's the holistic church planting that transforms communities. And we talk a lot about transformation, and that's, I think, what it's all about, that God is transforming our lives and using the ministry, the gospel, to transform others. And in doing that, to transform whole communities. We don't just see isolated things happening, but God wants to transform a whole group of people. And then the least reached, we really focus on MBMSI at going into areas where the gospel has not been heard, or there's just very little evangelical witness there. And so we're focusing a lot on the Muslim world right now, moving into some new areas, getting a team into that's just getting mobilized to go into Turkey. We've got some people coming into training now, hoping to form a team to go to France, but that's to work amongst the North Africans. And so that's some of our vision. And we are really excited at MBMSI to be getting a whole new group of people coming in, and Steph is part of that group to come and be trained for long-term missions. And we call this training program MTI, Missionary Training Institute, and we have about 18 people coming in. And so we're really excited to be part of this today and just what Steph's going into, and that you as a church are behind her. Paul, you were going to just share a little bit. Okay.
Well, we want to ask Stephanie then if you would kind of share and unpack a little bit of your story. How did you get to this place, and what is it that you feel like God has called you to do in mission? And many of you will know parts of this story, but we want to make sure that you know that as your church community, we're standing here with you. And so for those who maybe don't have kind of the full breadth of engagement with that, why don't you give us a little window into what God's been doing in your life?
Thank you. And thanks to Paul and Al for coming this morning. It really means a lot to me that you would come, so thank you for that. And thanks to my mom, who's here, all the way from Timmins, Ontario.
Woohoo!
And my sister as well, who's here from Abbotsford. So I just wanted to share just briefly with you this morning just what God's been doing in my heart the last little while. Some of you probably know that I've been interested in missions for quite some time. It actually started, I guess the seed was planted back when I was about 19 years old. I'm now 32, and so that's 13 years ago, if you want to do the math. And I was in my first semester at Toccoa Falls College in Georgia, and I was taking a world perspectives class, and it was there that God really started to, just to open up my heart and my mind to what he was doing around the world, and it really, really excited me. If you ever had that kind of excitement, you know that you just want to drop everything that you're doing and just go. And I still had a degree to earn, so I kind of tried to get that excitement, push that down, and finish my degree off. And then a lot of my friends, it was a very missions school, and so a lot of my friends were going to be missionaries, and it was all very exciting. I had a lot of missions influence in my life in my early 20s. And from there, I decided to go back to Timmins and pay off my debt. And I ended up being, what was supposed to be 1 year, ended up being into 3 years, living with my mom and my dad, which was fantastic. No, it really was great. And there I got involved in a lot of ministry with my local church there, and really didn't think a lot about missions. I told everyone I was going to be a missionary, and so I kind of talked about it sometimes, but my heart was just not there anymore. And what was kind of stirring in me was just a desire to teach and to know the Bible more and to learn more about how to dig deep into Scripture. And so after 3 years of living in Timmins, I decided to go to seminary and wanted to stay in Canada for that educational pursuit, and so made my way out here to Langley in 2004, and was going to do a two-year degree, and after 2 years, then maybe I go overseas. You see how I'm always kind of pushing this off? So I had all these things that I wanted to accomplish first. Well, my two-year degree turned into 4 years because I got a job in Langley with an asset management company, and loved my job, loved the company I worked for. And they eventually offered me a full-time job, and so I took that and did seminary part-time. So 4 years later, I finished my degree. This is last April, 2008. And by that time, I really wasn't that focused on missions per se, but what had happened in my heart, especially during seminary, was that, believe it or not, the Old Testament kind of came alive to me, and that's kind of maybe a little bit nerdy to some of you. But I read the Old Testament and started studying it and just seeing God's heart for his people and for the nations. And it just kind of came alive to me in a whole new way that I never had before. And as I was experiencing God's transformation in my own life and just being able to relate a lot to, you know, the Israelites and their obedience and their disobedience and all those things, I just really started getting excited for the way that God wants to restore people and redeem them, and as Al was sharing, just holistically make them into people of God, and just renew them. And that just really started to excite me. By the time I finished school last year, I was just in a place where I said, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you. I want to go where you want me to go, and I have no idea where that is. The reality was I have a great church, and I had a lot of good friends. I have a great job, and all those things were just really wonderful. And yet, there was a part of me that was really, really discontent, and almost in a sense, I felt really lost. And I remember going home at Christmas, and my mom and I had this really long talk, and I just felt so lost. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing, where I was supposed to be going, and we just really talked through that, and I just knew that God had something different for me. I had no idea what it was. Before that time, in early December, I decided I would start fasting. Now, fasting is something I hate doing. I like food. I eat because I have to, but I hate missing meals, and I'm not a happy person when I miss a meal, kind of like my friend Lee here. Right, Lee? But I just felt like I needed... Maybe this is not good theology, but I needed to show God that I was serious about what he had for me. And I needed to hear from him. And so I started to fast. Claire over here is one of my coworkers. She doesn't know this, but every Tuesday at lunch, I would leave and go for lunch, quote unquote. And I would just skip lunch and I would fast. And it was during that time that I started to do some journaling. And I just wanted to read to you a really... small portion of my first entry of this new experience of fasting once a week. And blah, 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 three pages later, I come to, this is the last portion of my entry here. I need faith, much more faith. I don't know what it is, what it's really like to walk by faith. I don't even want to try anymore. I'm too comfortable, but not comfortable at all. Too settled, but not satisfied. Lord Jesus, that I would learn again what it means to walk by faith, not sight. That I would take risks and chances and be willing to be dangerous for you. That I would be willing to be alone. For willingness ultimately means I am not really alone, but with you. Teach me these things, Lord. I desire even a speck more of faith, for it would change the course of my life and further your kingdom. Help me, Jesus. And that was written in December of last year. And I was reading my journal last night, and it was just amazing to kind of read back and see kind of where the Lord has brought me over this last year. I guess when you kind of make those kinds of cries out to God, he will answer. And it was through a number of different experiences over the last probably 8 months or so that God has just really confirmed the desires of my heart. And I won't tell you all of the situations that I've been in, but it was just a bunch of little things that kind of compiled into finally me saying, yes, Lord, it's time. One of those was I went to Missions Fest, which I in the past have never gone to because, and I know I'm a bit cynical, but it's typical. Does that make sense to any of you? It's typical. It's just the mission stuff. But this year I really wanted to go, and so I went by myself, and there... I heard a woman named Marie N speak, and she just blew my mind away. Like, this woman was just incredible. She was missionary for like 60 or 80 years, or at 120, I'm not sure. And it's really, really long time. And just the story she told, I was just like, oh, like that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. And at the end, I was walking out, and I ran into John Mayer and Brian Cool, and we started talking, and I was telling them about, you know, what I just heard, and I think I was probably crying. Was I, John? Yeah, John shaking his head. Yes. And I was just like, oh, I want to do that, but I don't know, like, I don't know how. There's like, I'm the kind of person that if there's like a lot of choices in front of me, I just don't choose any. I just watch TV or baseball or something. And that's kind of where I was in life. Just, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to watch baseball. Right, Kim? Yeah. So, But just like that, I just knew that passion was in my heart. And at the same time, I was seeing somebody who was kind of offering me a whole different life. And I was really wrestling between, should I date this guy or should I become a missionary? It was this really weird kind of thing I was working through. But I just knew that if I didn't date him, that I would become a missionary. Yeah, really weird, right? But I... And it was just—I just knew that it was kind of more like a life that I was choosing, and that was what I was really wrestling with: is what kind of life am I going to live? And so I didn't date him in the end. Anyway, and then now I'm going to become a missionary, so that's nice. But so Another conversation I had was with Herda. Now, is Herda here today? I know I saw Al earlier. Herda's not here. Okay. Well, you can tell Herda this. She is on a cruise. I cannot believe she's missing this for a cruise. Okay, well, I at the women's retreat we had in, I think it was in April, I sat down with Herda, and I don't know Herda very well. And so we were kind of having the typical, like, hi, my name is Herda, Steph, that kind of thing. And Herda said, aren't you still in school? And I said, no, I finished a year ago. And I'm going really long, but I'm sorry. Okay. Yep. And I'll make this really quick. And so she she said, aren't you still in school? I said, no, I'm finished school. I've been finished for a year. Well, what are you doing? I'm working, you know, doing my thing. Well, how are you using your education? Oh, I'm not really. Just kind of taking a bit of a break from life or whatever. And so she said, she looked at me and she said, you need to get going. You need to network. You need to kind of, you need to get in gear. Like, what are you doing wasting your time? And I was like, I don't really know you. What's your name again? Herda? No. But she just really spoke into my life, and I needed to hear that. I need a good push every so often or every week or whatever. So that was one really significant thing. Many, many significant conversations with my coworkers, with friends, with my life group. They prayed for me over and over again. I'd come and be like, I think I want to be a missionary, but... You know, so they just patiently prayed for me and talked through things with me. Andrew and Colleen, who many of you know, who we commissioned a few months ago for Nepal, that was the time when I heard the Lord say, it's time, Steph. It's time for you to take that step. And it was during their commissioning service in our old location. And I don't normally hear from the Lord like this, but he just said, it's time to make that phone call. And I remember hearing clearly, make a phone call. And I knew that meant MBMSI. After the service, Brian Cool came up to me and he said, Steph, Jess and I were talking about you last night. Jess is his wife, for those of you who don't know. And I said, oh, that's nice. And he said, yeah, he just started speaking into my life and just encouraging me in my gifts and saying, like, you got to get going. Like, what are you doing? And he said, I really feel like, he's like, I saw Randy Friesen earlier this week, and I when I talked to him, I thought, Steph needs to call this guy. It's time for Steph to call this guy. And I just looked at Brian and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I just heard from the Lord saying, like, call MBMSI, and now Brian's here kind of confirming that for me. So just a lot of things like that where God's really confirmed the way for me. Since then, there's been a lot of confirmation as well. Basically, that week, I met with Randy, and I resigned from my job that same week and said, I'm finished in August, and I'm going to, if I make it, which apparently I have, I'll join the training in the fall. So here I am. I finished my last week of work about a week ago, my last day of work about a week ago. And I start training on Tuesday. So it's a whole new adventure for me, but I'm super excited. And I just can't believe that I'm finally here. When I told my mom this back in April, I told her all that was happening. And I said, what do you think, Mom? And she just said, it's about time. Like 13 years later. But she said it very lovingly and caring. So anyway, that's kind of my story briefly.
Thank you for sharing, Steph. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Mm-hmm. It takes all of you to mobilize Steph into worldwide missions, just like it takes a whole village to raise a child. And so this is actually a very meaningful time for us within MBMSI, because actually we can't do it without the church and without Steph. So we're part of this three-legged stool. So we really value relationship. The verse that the Lord gave me for you, Steph, this morning, and with that I'll stop, is 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Actually, it's a couple of verses. And it's addressed with love to a man, but I'm going to replace Timothy's name with Steph's. But you, Steph, are a woman of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. We're proud of you.
I want to invite those who are a part of Steph's community, and that can be a life group, that can be interpersonal relationships. I'm going to ask for our leadership team, our elders team, to come up here as well. And in the book of Acts, what we see is when the early church affirmed the call of God in someone's life, they laid hands on them and they commissioned them for the work that God has called them to. And so that's what we want to do here today. So those of you who would like to be involved in that aspect of laying on of hands and commissioning of Steph for the work that God has called her to do in her life, I want to invite you to come up. We got lots of space up here. And so, Steph, you can scooch right to the front. There you go, and we can lay hands on her, and we want to pray, and we will continue to commit in prayer. This is not just a one-time event where we sort of send Steph off. She's going to Abbotsford to train and to be a part of the team there, and so we'll see her regularly, and so we'll be building into her life and continuing to hear from her in that way. I'm going to ask Curtis if he would pray. Curtis is part of our elders team that works in the area of mission. And so, Curtis, can you offer prayer of commissioning and blessing for Steph?
Heavenly Father, I am just, I'm feeling like I'm shaking this morning, just thinking about a missionary going out from our midst, Lord, and I feel especially blessed that we can be part of this here today, that we can be part of this special day for Steph. But this is not the beginning, and this is not the end of her journey. This is just somewhere near the beginning, and we know that you have so many promises for her that you will still fulfill in her life. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just bring the people around her as you have to continue to nourish her and to lift her up and to help her move forward when she needs to be motivated. But also, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just provide that fire, Lord. And I just had a picture as I was walking up of a steam locomotive and how it's often that fire is slow to start with the coal. And yet, when it starts to move, it moves slowly and it builds and it builds and it builds momentum and it has these cars that it pulls along behind with it, Lord. And I see Steph as that locomotive and you, Lord, just building within her life. And so that she can just do mighty things through your love, through your power. And that people throughout the world can be reached and touched locally and globally. And we don't know where you are planning to send her, Lord. But we pray that you will continue to give her a vision and that will just carry her on, Lord. We thank you for this special day, Heavenly Father, and this special woman who you have gifted in many, many ways. So we pray your blessing upon her today, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank everyone that has been obedient to speaking into your life, Steph. And if you want to be continue to connect with Steph and know what's happening, she's just got a sign-up sheet on the back there. You can get emails from her regularly to be informed as to how you can pray for her and how you can connect and support her as well. Oh, and she needs a place to keep her stuff in storage. And so if you really have a way and an ability to bless Steph in that way, that would be perfect. You can talk with her afterwards about that. So thanks, Steph, your encouragement and speaking into our lives and challenging us in that way has been a wonderful journey to be a part of. And so I want to just encourage everyone to continue to connect with her in that way. One of the things, Steph, that I really love about your story is how all of those other people around you were obedient to what it is that God was saying to them in their lives and how they spoke into your life and just took that step of obedience to whether it was Herta just to challenge or whether it was Brian to say, make the call and confirm what it is that you had heard from God already. And so sometimes when we talk about this idea of hearing from God, we kind of have it in our minds, because it happens a lot around the Christian community, we kind of have it in our minds that maybe it's like cell phone coverage in a semi-rural area.